When wishes were horses and beggars could ride, in a stone castle by the sea there lived a rich laird.
What am I supposed to choose? There are so many.
And so he left the trail, and he followed the sound of the music.
I am the goat from the hills and the mountains. And when I have finished eating these herbs and these vegetables, then I shall eat you, too.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I'm your host, Isabel Hauser, and I have some stories for you. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world. It will take you to long ago and far away, and will bring you back safely. We are entering the dark season of the year, and just like there are days that seem to consist of nothing but shades of grey morphing into one another, there are also stories that don't tell us about the bright rainbow of life, but rather about its darker colours. The stories of this episode are of that kind, so if you are listening in the presence of sensitive souls, such as children, you might want to skip to a lighter, more joyful episode, or put on headphones. If you have been listening to the podcast for a while, you might remember that a few weeks ago, I found a mysterious painting in my attic during a blackout at night. I had taken that painting down to my apartment, mesmerized by what it depicted. A somber scene, a lake, glowing in the last light of day, dark trees, and a young woman looking out onto the water. That same night, the young woman had started to move about the painting. They say that when something frightens you, you should either get rid of it or try and make it your friend. And since I felt so strangely attached to the painting, I just could not bring myself to part with it. And so I started talking to the young woman instead. As the golden days of autumn turned into grey mist and rain, I took to sharing bits and pieces about my days, the woes and victories of an ordinary life. She was a good listener, her dark eyes intently on me when I spoke. She never talked back, and left all my questions about her unanswered. Though it did seem like the more I talked to her, the more she came to life. She moved around the painting when I wasn't looking, so every night, I would find her somewhere else, bending by the shore, half hidden in the trees, crouching by the water. Over the span of several days, she seemed to be gathering wood. Piles of neatly stacked up branches began to form on the edge of the painting. It was around that time that the strange occurrences during the night began. I would wake up suddenly in the middle of the night, sensing a presence in my bedroom, finding nothing but silence and shadows. Perhaps a thread of cold moonlight across my blanket. I had dreams, distorted scenes about the painting and a girl in a dress of times long gone. The fragments always left me with a profound feeling of betrayal and despair that I wasn't able to shake all day, like a heavy, damp cloak around my shoulders. And the more time I spent around the woman in the painting, the more I started to wonder about her and what it must be like to be trapped in a world of eternal dusk. And then, one rainy day, I came home to find the grass by the shore trampled flat and the branches no longer in a pile, but arranged into two words across the ground. Help me. The first teller for this episode is Barbara Schutzgruber, an award-winning storyteller and weaver. She weaves wool into colorful jackets and words into stories that transport her audience into another world. This is her telling the tragic tale of the Woman in Grey.
Mr. Johnson lived in a small town and ran the general store. His daughter Lily had grown up helping out in that store, cleaning, restocking shelves, then taking inventory, and eventually keeping the books. The year Lily turned 14, winter came early. One day, snow began to fall early, and as that day progressed, the temperatures plummeted and the winds howled, drifting the snow chest deep. By evening, that storm was a full blizzard. As it grew dark, Lily lit the lamps and moved about the empty store alone. No one would be coming in for the next few days due to the snow, so she decided to use that time to straighten up the store, rearrange and restock the shelves. As she worked, the bell sounded, the door opened, and there was a blast of cold air. A woman entered the store. The woman was a stranger and not much older than Lily herself. Looking at her, Lily knew two things right off. First, this woman was poor. She was thin and unwashed in her dress. Oh, it had been a fine store-bought dress once, but now it was stained and worn and threadbare. The second thing Lily knew right off, this woman was strange. Here it was, in the middle of a blizzard, and the woman was dressed only in a lightweight gray frock. No shawl, no coat. "May I help you?" Lily asked. The woman said nothing. She moved silently about the store, and then her gaze fell upon several bottles of milk sitting on the windowsill. Lily had placed them there to keep them cold, and the woman pointed to the milk. "Do you want some milk?" The woman said nothing. She only pointed to the milk. Lily handed her that bottle of milk, and the woman turned around and walked out the door. She didn't say thank you. She didn't pay for it. She gave no explanation. Nothing. She simply took the milk and silently walked out into the night. And Lily stood there, her mouth open in disbelief. I mean, she knew she should go after her, but that woman looked so poor. And she knew that she should at least go after her and get an explanation, but that woman was definitely strange, and Lily did not want to go near her. Now she knew her daddy would be angry, so she said nothing to him that night. The next day, the same time in the evening, Lily was alone in the store when again the bell sounded. The door opened, the blast of cold air, and in walked that woman a second time. Still silent, still dressed only in that lightweight gray frock. Lily looked at her closely this time. Her face was drawn and thin. Who knows when she'd had a good meal last? And her eyes were all red and swollen, her cheeks tear-stained like she'd been crying all night. Without making a sound, the woman crossed the floor and pointed to another bottle of milk. Lily handed her the milk and asked, "Are you all right? Is there something wrong? Is there someone sick or hurt?" But the woman said nothing. She just took the bottle of milk, turned around, and walked out the door. This time, Lily followed. And she hadn't gone far when her father called after her. What was she doing out in the snow, leaving the door open? She turned and answered him, and when she looked back, the woman was gone. Lily returned to the store and told her daddy what had happened the last two evenings. By the next day, word had spread throughout that community about this strange woman. By noon, the store was filled with people, all talking about the events of the past two evenings. One said, "Well, maybe she's ashamed of being on hard times. Maybe she's too proud to ask for help." Another said, "Well, maybe somebody's sick. Maybe she's sick." Someone else said, "Bet there's children. Why else would she be wanting milk? Everyone had a theory. Each had a different idea, but all agreed that if anyone should see this woman again, they were to follow her and find out where she was staying, because maybe one person couldn't make things right, but if they all worked together, maybe then they could all do something that could help her. And that evening, only Mr. Johnson stayed in the store with Lily. They did not want to frighten that woman off with a crowd in the store. And at the same time as the previous nights, the bell sounded, the door opened, the blast of cold air, and the woman walked into the store just as she had done two times before. And again, the woman silently crossed the floor and pointed to a bottle of milk. Lily handed her the bottle, and without a word, the woman turned and walked out the door into the night. The sky was clear with a full moon. The moonlight reflected off the snow so brightly that Lily and her daddy were able to see her clearly as they followed. Soon others in the town saw them following her, and before long, half the town was following that woman. And they had to run to keep up with her. She seemed to drift over that snow-covered road, and she came to the top of a hill just outside of town, and they lost sight of her just for a moment. And when they all got to the top of that hill, she was gone, nowhere to be seen. Where did she go? Well, of course, she must be hiding. If she was ashamed of being on hard times, well, she'd be too proud to ask for help. Well, it's a bit hard not to notice half the town following her. She's hiding. But where? There were no tracks in the snow leading off the road. They continued following the road, searching for footprints in the snow, but there were none. She was simply gone, vanished without a trace. Finally, the searchers stopped and looked about, and they were trying to decide what to do next when they realized they were standing at the mouth of an old deserted mine. Now the entrance was sealed shut by a recent rock slide in that blizzard, and it was then they heard a faint noise. It sounded like a puppy, whimpering. And then they realized it was coming from inside that mine. Using their hands, they began to dig through the ice-encrusted rock and snow, and as they dug, they realized that it was not the sound of a puppy, but the sound of a baby crying. And when they broke through that rock and snow, Lily Johnson looked in, and her heart about stopped, because lying in that cave was the woman she had seen three times, and she was definitely dead. But wrapped up in a nest of torn fragments of gray fabric and leaves and pine branches was a baby. And the baby was alive. The mother and child must have gotten caught in that snowstorm and taken refuge in that old mine. And the mother had died, but the baby somehow had survived. And that baby was going to be just fine. Well, they lifted out that baby, and Lily saw something else she would never forget. Lying in that nest of gray fabric and leaves and pine branches were three empty milk bottles.
Fairy tale sponsor for this episode is 1001 Nights Hotels. Do you need a break from spinning straw into gold? Are you tired of digging in the mine the whole day through? Or are you simply exhausted from sleeping for 100 years? Treat yourself to a stay at one of our 1001 Nights Hotels. Relax at our shining, shimmering, splendid spa. Recharge in our new fantastic gardens and regale on our signature wondrous dinner under an endless diamond sky.
every day, we offer a magic carpet ride that will take you wonder by wonder around the unbelievable sights of the area. Every room is ensuite and equipped with air conditioning, Wi-Fi, a magic lamp, and a complimentary storyteller to tell you bedtime stories. Whether you are staying just one night or 1,000, our staff will ensure that you have the most wonderful time. We are now welcoming guests in every major magical city from Agrabah to Zug. Let your heart decide and book your break today. There's always some time to spare. 1001 Nights Hotels, a whole new world of vacationing. 5 stars on iTunes from M.E. Reynolds Craft. My 5-year-old has been listening to various story podcasts for 2 years. We discovered your podcast today and he declared, "Wow, I could listen to this one every day." He was listening to the episode, "What Will You Give Me?" Thank you so much for your kind words, M.E. Reynolds Craft. May you see one shooting star every night so you never run out of wishes. If you'd also like to help spread the wonders of the podcast, writing a review on iTunes is one way of doing so. Another way of joining the podcast family is by becoming a Patreon. Several rewards, such as extra stories, postcards, and mystery gifts are waiting to be yours, starting from investments of as little as $4 a month. Find out more on storystorypodcast.com. We are looking forward to sharing the secret goodies with you. Help me. I read the words again, incredulously. Help you? But how? There was no reply, only her somber gaze ever so intently on me. That night, I barely slept. I tossed and turned as the wind was howling around the house, rattling on the shutters, the rain drumming against my window like a host of bony fingers. Again, I sensed the presence, and again I drifted in and out of shreds of dreams, dreams I could not make sense of, dreams about the painting and that girl. Enough, I thought, flicked on the light on my nightstand, untangled myself from the cocoon of my blanket, and went to fetch the painting. I placed it against my bed. "What do you want?" My voice came out as a whisper. The painting had changed yet again. The woman had cleared away the branches and stood at the center of the scene, her right arm outstretched, the palm of her hand facing towards me. I thought I read a request in her dark, unwavering gaze. "You mean..." I tentatively lifted my right hand and moved my palm so it hovered only an inch from hers. And then I saw her move. For the very first time, there was an approving twitch around the corners of her mouth, and her eyebrows lifted ever so slightly. So I placed my palm against hers, and the world, already muted by the night, drained from color altogether. Her cold fingers interlaced with mine, an icy surge sucked my life's energy from my heart, threw my palm into the grip of the painting. I couldn't scream, I couldn't move, I couldn't breathe, and the last thing I saw was the lips of the woman curling up, exposing a row of small, gleaming, pointy teeth as she sucked my essence from me. And then I heard a high-pitched scream and was hit by a force knocking me over sideways, ripping my hand from the painting with the ugly sound of tearing flesh. My arm flew back, hit my nightstand, shattered the lamp, and I passed out. When I came to, I felt a throbbing pain in my hand, my cheek against the cold, hard floor. I opened my eyes, and it was still night, though shards of glass on the floor gleamed in the light. The light of the presence. The presence that I had felt every night since the woman in the painting had come to life, had manifested. In the corner of my room, there was a girl in a dress of times long gone. She was made up entirely of pulsating golden light that faded and became stronger like a heartbeat. Our eyes locked and she smiled, but her expression was sad. Her gaze drifted to my hand and the colored dust that was scattered around it, and then to the painting. The woman had vanished. With a barely audible sigh, she began to fade away. "You are safe now," she mouthed, and then she was gone. Darkness surrounded me once more, and I was alone, truly alone. The second teller for this episode is Elton Chung, a Hawaiian-born storyteller who has been telling stories for a very, very long time. His unique way of bringing characters to life with his voice alone will leave you with a smile on your face or a chill in your heart. This is him telling The Pheasant Spell.
Thanks. You guys have been really wonderful. Appreciate you guys coming out here on kind of a rainy Makawa day. I don't know if I can go and follow that one, but I'm going to try. Story comes from Korea. It's a folktale. It's called The Pheasant's Bell. Yanal, yanal, adu yanare. Once upon a time in Korea, there was a poor woodsman, and he was in the forest chopping dead wood. When he heard a fluttering nearby, he turned and looked. It was a mother pheasant protecting her nest from a big black snake. Well, he didn't want to kill the snake, but his heart opened and he realized, this large snake was taking on these defenseless birds. He put down his axe, he picked up a stick, and he tried to chase the snake away. But when he approached, the snake turned and turned to strike at him. In fear, he lashed out with a stick. Killed the snake. Birds are happy. He went on. Years went by. Now the young man is now an old man. He went off on a journey and came back into his beloved woods by another way and found himself in a part of the woods that he had never been in before. It was growing cold. It was getting dark. And he didn't know where he was. He wandered for a long time, and at last he saw in the distance a pale light. He headed toward it. He arrived in a clearing in which there was a beautiful thatched hut, a lovely garden, a small pool, an oasis in the middle of the forest. And he thought to himself, "What the heck is this doing here?" But he was cold. This wonderful, inviting place with flickering lights behind the windows, he went up and knocked. The door opened, and a beautiful young girl stood there. "Ungyung haesayo, please welcome, come inside."
thank you. I am cold and I am hungry. Please, may I spend the night here? Of course, of course. Come inside, and this young girl prepared him many wonderful dishes. And he sat by a warm fire. And after he'd eaten his fill, he sat there and wondered, well, madam, honorable maiden, where are your parents? Oh. More tea? Thank you, but please tell me, what are you doing here in the woods in this lovely place all by yourself? I have been waiting for someone. Waiting for who? Someone like you. Like me? Someone exactly like you. And this woman transformed this huge snake. I have been waiting for you, woodsman, for years. You killed me, and I have been waiting to take my revenge upon you. But please, please, that was so long ago. I remember I felt so bad. I did not mean to kill you. It's just that I saw you attacking those defenseless pheasants, and I wanted to scare you away, but you turned and you attacked me. I had no choice. It does not matter. Now I will kill you. Oh, please. Please. Have compassion. I am so sorry. I did not mean to kill you. And he pleaded for his life until at last the snake spirit woman said, at the top of this mountain, there is a temple. And in that temple, there is a bell, a holy bell. If you can make that temple bell ring 3 times before dawn, I will allow you to go free. I will find that temple bell. The old man held to the door. And I will make it ring. You must remain here. What was that? It sounded like a bell. Again. The temple bell. The very gods of the mountain must be on your side. And once again, for the 3rd time, the bell rang. Snake woman disappeared into the ground, and that hut and the pond and the garden all faded away, and the woodsman was standing there in the mist, in a clearing, in the darkness. It was cold, but he waited until the sun began to peek over the eastern hills. He was curious. He headed up the mountain. He walked along a path that had not been trod in years. It was overgrown, and he made his way to the ruins of the temple on the top of the hill. And there he indeed found a bell, a great bell. But there was a stain. The bell by the broken body of a pheasant.
pheasant that had given its life that he might live. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Story Story podcast. Show the love. Find Barbara Schutz Gruber and Elton Chung on the internet. Tell them you heard them on the podcast and now want to hear them tell more stories. You can find Rachel Ann and the podcast on Facebook and Instagram at Story Story Podcast or rachelannharding.com. And you can find me at isabellahauser.com. Check out the ads for the fairy tale sponsors and let us know the favorite story you have heard or the favorite stories of your childhood. Who knows? Maybe you will hear them here soon. The beautiful brains behind the fairy tale sponsor is Anne Ray, and the inspiration of the true fairy tale was the true fairy tale of the episode Cunning Creatures on September 27th. This podcast is made possible by patrons like you. If you would like to become a supporter of the podcast or discover sponsorship opportunities, you can find links on storystorypodcast.com. If it isn't in the cards to support the podcast right now, no worries. Perhaps you would be willing to go write a review on iTunes, which helps other story lovers find and enjoy the podcast. Head on over to the website and join the mailing list for hidden goodies. And if you tune in, you will hear more stories next week. I already look forward to hosting another episode in the near future. But until then, live happily ever after.
Mary-Kate opened up the door, and there on the doorstep, wrapped in his own blanket, was her baby.
And to this day, Anansi spins webs so that he can catch the flea, the fly, and the moth that got away.
If you go down to the lake on a clear day, when the water lies as calm as a sheet of glass, you can still see the rooftops of the castle glittering in the sunlight. And if you listen really closely, you can even hear the festive music from the royal court. Thank you.